You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 475. We're recording this episode right after we just recorded the Christmas episode. This is going to be a mega quickie, maybe 15, 20 minutes, just because we want to keep the flavor in the action, to keep the chamber in danger, to keep you loaded up with the Punk News Podcast commentary, and to keep you entertained in your membrane out on the range. Mange. We are here with features editor John Gentile. We're also here with Adam White. What's your title now? Contributing editor Adam White. Adam White, what's happening, man? What's the snaps?
I mean, I'm kind of just like a person who happens to still have passwords to things. I don't know what that is from an org chart standpoint. Because, like, really, what do I do, right?
You're the guy we call when we get locked out. We need somebody to show up with the keys. Mm-hmm. It's like, Adam, yeah. Somebody locked the hovercraft. Can you come over here and let us in? That's what you do, Adam.
That's
pretty much what I do.
That's Tom Trauma right there. Tom Trauma, you've got four kids, right? And two are minors. How big is Christmas?
No, two adults. Two adults.
So wouldn't that mean the other two are minors?
Didn't you say four of mine? Oh, you said two. Listen, John, I just had a very traumatic experience. I had to kill a small person. And I for Christmas now, I need more ammunition for my Desert Eagle, .357 caliber. And, you know, I used up a lot of my personal resources to kill my way through the last episode.
Well, you did a good job, Tom. And also that person laughing in the back, extra special treat. It's always great when this person's on the podcast. That's right. It's Gene Simp. No, I'm kidding. It's Sam Barrett. Sam Barrett, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a hot minute since you've been on with us kicking it and talking the news.
Yeah, apparently I've been running around with, like, you know, a Nerf gun or something, killing things.
I gotta say, Candyland. You had a bit part that you had a couple different parts, but your bit part there is, that's the highlight. Your one bit part that I won't mention because I don't want to ruin the surprise to anybody if they're listening to these out of order. But that was the highlight of the whole thing.
Oh, like the last part that she did, I thought that was, like, really good actually.
Sam as Herbie the Elf. I mean, I would be. it's unfortunate that probably can't be a recurring character next year based on certain things that I won't spoil.
Sam,
but maybe maybe he has a twin brother or something that can come back next year.
Sam, can you come on the podcast every week as Herbie the Elf?
And just yell at us for something we did the week before, something we said the week before.
You know what? I'll just, like, record my voice as Herbie, like, yelling at random things. Maybe me yelling at the subway for not coming to get me, you know, things like that.
Maybe you could do the voice of, like, our GPS system or something in our phone and be like, turn left, jerk. Right turn, stupid.
I could probably do that and make a couple bucks, right? Like, for the hovercraft, because, you know, the hovercraft needs some work,
especially after it got firebombed. Sam, yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big is the Xmas season at the Barrett household?
So apparently Christmas is very I was deprived of Christmas for let's say 18 years of my life. So, Christmas is pretty big in my house. I like to, you know, make sure the tree looks cute, you know, decorate the dog. And, you know, my husband just, like, looks at all of this stuff. So, yeah.
Honestly, I love Christmas. Christmas is probably my favorite holiday. And, like, a lot of the punks are like, oh, I hate Christmas. But I love Christmas. But actually, we'll talk about this briefly and then we'll hit some news real quick. But when we do a Christmas special, we did a Christmas special last week, the joke is it's usually like Bing Crosby. It's usually very innocent, and that's the joke, and that is kind of creepy because we're all like a little too weird, you know, about it. But this year's Christmas episode was ultra-violent, and honestly, I felt a little bad about that because, A, the ultra-violent Christmas parody's been done before, and also, I feel bad about making Christmas ultra-violent. But that's the story that came that's the story that I came up with, like, 14 minutes before we started to record the episode.
So, John, do you put up a tree?
Oh, yeah, man, definitely.
What about you, Adam? You do a tree?
Yeah, actually, this is the first year that...
You got kids, you got it, right?
Oh, yeah, no, but we did even before, but, like, Christmas is sort of my holiday, and we've always been, like, real tree people, but this is the first year that I have a tree that is made of, like, world-killing oil and plastic, and... Part of me is a little sad, but the other part of me is happy that this tree is not going to mysteriously fall over on me. Because I've had so many real trees and every manner of stand for them where all of a sudden some horrible thing would happen. Like I had one year where like the bark along the bottom of the trunk, like started to rot out below the little things that hold the trunk in. So we're just like sitting there in the house and all of a sudden the tree just like slowly and tragically falls over in slow motion. And that kind of shit happened way too much. So
the good news is you're in Canada. So you're literally never more than 10 foot away from like a fresh pine tree that you can just go knock down.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. You just reach out the window and grab one.
So this is my first year this is my 46th Christmas. And this is my first Christmas with a fake tree. Ooh. I was raised in the Midwest, and we basically, you know, if you were a man who had a fake tree in your house, you might as well have been wearing a dress. That was just how it was. And now, this year, because my wife and I had just been gone on this vacation, we got back, and trees are kind of expensive. And I sort of was resentful of the fact that I was going to pay big money for, like, a fresh tree just for a week. So we borrowed one. I have a plastic tree in my house, and it looks fine. But it's always been a kind of our ritual, like take the kids, get the tree. It's just always been kind of a fun thing, you know. So,
wait, hold on. You borrowed a tree?
Yeah, I borrowed a tree from a friend that had an extra one.
Oh, it's crappy. Okay.
It's not one of those really not a live tree, like a fake tree. But it's not one of those like sweet ones where they pop up like an umbrella and it's got all the lights in it and stuff.
It's just
like an old school, pretty crappy one, but it's fine. Next year, and you know, I told my wife, I'll tell you what, this year, if you like hit the clearance sales after Christmas and you can buy a nice fake one for like 75% off, we'll stash it in the attic. And then when the kids are grown, we'll never get a fresh one again. But we'll probably, my youngest daughter's 12, we'll probably continue the tradition until she's an adult, I would think.
Well, speaking of new traditions, a band called Wacko, which is from the the Long Beach area. They recently played a show in a Denny's, and you can go on Punk News and check out the YouTube video. And honestly, like you should also go, if you're interested, you should also go on Twitter and like find like the 20-second clip they put on Twitter, because as crazy as the YouTube video is, the Twitter clips are like so insane because of different angles. So this band Wacko played in a Denny's, and of course it was pretty crazy, and there was some damage. Somewhat surprising to me, the damage was only $1,000, which honestly like to $1,000 worth of damage to anything, at least in the legal context, is like nothing. So anyways,
you've been to a Denny's lately, John? I can't believe there's $1,000 worth of anything in there.
People are dissing on Denny's. I love Denny's. I like Denny's a lot.
I used to go there a lot when I was a young man who stayed out drinking all night, but it's been years.
So the weird part was, is that first it appears that the show was authorized by the manager of that one. I don't know if Denny's is a franchise or not, but that one Denny's, that specific restaurant, reportedly it was authorized by the manager there. But then once this whole thing blew up and got out there, Denny's issued a statement, and they said, "Denny's is a family-friendly restaurant, and while we do have banquet spaces available at some restaurants, we do not allow events that can disrupt the dining experience of our guests. The manager was unaware of a concert was planned, and the event organizers have been asked to pay for damages." So the band themselves asked people to help the promoter to pay for the $1,000 bill that he presumably will get. If you don't know about Wacko, they're not an extremely well-known band, but they are kind of a crazy band. They put up a GoFundMe for the promoter, but then right after they put up a GoFundMe for their guitar player, because she needs money apparently. They're like, she needs money and we want to give it to her. Also, I think this, I don't know if this is a scam or not, but on their Instagram, they said that they're filming a porno, like, with the band members. So I think they're, like, almost like an experimental group, like, a performance group. Like, they're pretty whacked out, you know? So do you guys think this is awesome and hilarious, or is it a bummer because, A, it caused a Denny's manager a lot of problems, and he's probably got enough problems as it is? And also, did the kids not respect the venue? But also, if they did respect the venue, would it be this wild, wacky, hilarious story that it is? By all means.
I think they gave the venue the respect it deserves. But the thing is, there's a backspace. This wasn't in the restaurant. This was like in a private room, like the old school restaurants, a lot of them would have a private room where you could have your big family reunion or whatever.
Where Big Pop Band Gambino does his business transactions?
Well, it wasn't, my point being, it wasn't in the main room. I mean, it looks like the main room. It's just tables and whatever. But I'm sorry, you can't load up a band's worth of equipment without somebody knowing what's going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? This just stinks of, the manager didn't know. The manager's trying to cover his own butt at the last minute. I think it's, I remember there was, this was going on for a while, these like flash shows, like, oh, KFC parking lot, or, you know, there was, this was a big thing like a couple years ago.
But they were fake.
Were they all fake?
Did nobody show because up? it was always like the most implausible artist. And like,
oh, those two. But I mean, there was always like some of the local kids, and it was always like more like an acoustic thing, but they were doing impromptu shows in like the parking lot of Speedway or something.
Oh, okay. But it, like one of those ones where it would be like, you know, like,
no, not like setting it, not like pulling up a flatbed or something.
No. Adam's referring to those Facebook jokes where it'd be like,
yeah, I remember those two.
Sheryl Crow at Arby's on Tuesday or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That could happen still. Give it a couple more years. She's not exactly rolling in the hits anymore. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's one of those weird, you know, fun stories. It's getting a lot of traction for this band that nobody had heard of before. So I think it's going to work out well for them.
Yeah, I don't know. This entire story is weird. It's wacko. That's exactly what it is. Because there's a lot of holes. Like, you know, there's a lot of questions that we still have in order to piece together what the hell actually happened. Yeah, like, clearly, I think that there was a miscommunication somewhere. Don't know where. I don't know. This happened. There's footage of it. Cool, fine, but you know, you definitely should not be fucking shit up in any venue, space, anywhere. You're supposed to be like, you know, respecting your space. So that really sucks that they, you know, broke stuff or whatever. I do think that they're going to get a lot of press, clearly, from this. If you don't know who they are now, you definitely probably saw in passing an article about them, so good for them.
I totally agree with you about respect the space, Sam, because, I mean, you go to basement shows or whatever. I think the problem that Denny's is going to have is everybody's going to be like, you know, everybody's so anti-corporate everything now.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, like, oh, screw Denny's. But the fact of the matter is, it might be like one guy who owns one Denny's, you know, because the way the restaurants work generally is, you know, some of them are owned by like a giant corporation and some of them are franchised out, and we don't know what this one was. So it might just be owned by some, you know, schmo in Cleveland Heights or something.
Yeah.
But by the same token, if you're at McDonald's, you don't really consider whether it's, you know, locally owned or not. You're just like, screw McDonald's. So yeah. I suspect the kids kind of took the attitude of, you know what, this is Denny's, screw Denny's.
I don't know if there's that much thought. I think the kid, I like, if you, honestly, if you watch the video, I'm
kind of just going wild.
Like, everyone looks really, look really young and really cool. Like, everyone in the video looks like they're a really cool person, you know? And I think, like, it's just like a SoCal, like, party, and people just went nuts. Like, they're not like, I hate Denny's, I'm going to break up Denny's. They're like, yeah, this is a crazy party, you know?
No, I'm sorry. Let Adam speak.
Yeah, Adam, you have any perspective on this? Because I have torn perspectives on this.
I always don't want to engage with something when I get that feeling that I might be being rooked into being part of someone's viral marketing campaign. Right. So, like, how much of this is like actual thing that happened, and how much of this is, you know, goofy stunt that we want to go viral on the internet because a consultant told us to do this or that? And I don't know. I'm happy to promote shit, but I kind of want to know that I'm promoting it. So, you know,
it's a great guerrilla marketing campaign.
It might be, but I'm not budget. Their I'm not their monkey, Tom.
Yeah. So, well, do you guys have Denny's, Adam? Or did Tim Hortons like wipe them off the face of the earth?
No, I mean, like, we do have Denny's. There are Denny's in Niagara Falls. I mean, Niagara's kind of weird because we have like places that specifically cater to American tourists, perhaps more than like somewhere in the Yukon would right necessarily have. Yeah, right. And there's like so many American tourists that are in the city, so it's like probably a lucrative place to open a Denny's because you know it'll be attended by people who are looking for one. That's how I've never been in any of the Niagara Falls.
Most of them around here, I think it's mostly meth heads and guys who like to treat their prostitute to a meal after a nice session. Like, that's pretty much Denny's crowd.
Where I live, they're all they're all like in a hotel, like tourism Class hotel dance. Kind of thing. And like, yeah, they're all like in tourist hotels and not good tourist hotels. It's not the place all that
not the convention center.
No, like they're all the kind of places where like no one that lives in the city would go to. At least that's my snobby opinion. Like if you want to go get breakfast, there's like 900 places that are local places that you would go get breakfast that aren't a Denny's.
But they're not open all night. Denny's is 24 hours famously. That's kind of their thing. That's why they get the huge after bar crowd.
Listen, so I know everyone likes the cafe experience, you know, where you get the primped French toast, you know, with the cinnamon flakes on top. And they, you know, and
cost like $15 for breakfast.
Yeah. Every single time I go to a coffee shop, I get treated like a dick. People treat me like I walk in, I'm like, oh, can I have a nice tea? And they'll be like, whatever, asshole, $9, F you. You know, and then sometimes I'll like give them like a dollar.
It happens every time, John. If it happens every time, it might be time for some self-analysis.
That's what I'm saying.
If it was just the occasional thing, I might blow it off.
Like, what am I doing that I get treated like a creep every time I go to a coffee shop or a cafe?
I don't know. I'll have to come with you and watch. I'll give you a full analysis.
So anyways, with the Denny's, I'm so torn. Adam, are you saying this? You most likely think this is a scam, or you think it might be a scam?
Well, like I say, might, but might is enough for me to divert my attention elsewhere.
Yeah, for me, I'm torn. I hadn't really contemplated the scam aspect, and honestly, there is a lot of that like going around in punk right now. Not that the Chats are not a cool band, because they are a cool band, but it was the same kind of thing. You know, they're signed to a major, but the major labels keep it a secret. Same with the Regrets. You know, it's a couple of other bands too. I'm so torn because this is a crazy cool like this is punk rock. It's like wild and crazy, but not actually dangerous, but just a little dangerous and you know fun and bizarre. So I think it's really cool. But on the other hand, I'm sure they caused the Denny's manager, like he might have got fired over this, you know, and like he's probably just some guy trying to make a living, you know, or the manager said, all right, yeah, you can do a show here, and they totally duped him, and then he's got a lot of problems on his hands. I do think the manager said that, okay, we can do a show here, because there's no way, like, Thomas, there's no way you could set up and do a whole gig without the cops being called, unless it's been okay.
I mean, you've got to carry half stacks and stuff through somewhere, right?
Right. So, assuming it's not a scam, if it's not a scam, what happened was the franchise, the manager at that one individual Denny's said it was okay, but then when Denny's corporate found out about it, they can't admit to having concerts that could be hypothetically dangerous, or they can't admit to, you know, breaking certain zoning laws. So that's why they said no one knew about it at all. So Adam has raised a good point. Either it's a scam or it's kind of like a backfire. So I'm so torn. If it's not a scam, I'm so torn that is this a wild and crazy and cool thing? But on the other hand, like, if I was a promoter and this happened, I'd be like, oh, shit. But on the other hand, the promoter in this case is some kid and he thinks it's hilarious. But when you got nothing to lose, everything's hilarious, you know? Speaking of people with nothing to lose, the Circle Jerks and the Misfits have each announced new shows. The Circle Jerks are playing Mexico next year in the summer, and Circle Jerks have announced a couple more USA dates, or two USA dates, and some more French dates and Europe dates. Honestly, I thought the Misfits at Philadelphia was going to be the last show, but it looks like the Misfits are just going to keep trucking along and keep doing their thing. Circle Jerks, I think the lifespan will be much shorter of the band. What do you guys think?
So much foreign money out there for the Misfits. I mean, if they went to Japan or they went to Europe, they could make so much money. They're over 50. They could really jam their 401ks, you know?
Yeah.
But what was the question?
Do you think Misfits is going to continue? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Do you think Circle Jerks is going to continue after next summer? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think the Misfits are going to keep playing until they devalue the brand so bad that they're as worthless as when Jerry only fronted the band. No, just kidding. But I think they might as well keep playing and make some money. There's no reason they can't do a few shows a year for the almost indefinite future, right? Circle Jerks? Who knows? They'll get mad at each other and break up again, too. Because they're not looking at the same kind of money the Misfits are, even though I'm sure they're getting some pretty good cake for these gigs they have lined up.
They're not getting Misfits money.
No, I mean, I don't know, other than like a true Dead Kennedys or true Black Flag reunion, I don't even think they could get Misfits money. Misfits are just a phenom, you know?
there was the greatest snarky tweet that I saw, and I feel like it was one of the past punk news writers. Was it Mondo who posted it or something like that, where they were saying that, because there was footage last week of Rollins playing, I forget which song.
Oh, with Cyndi Lauper.
With Cyndi Lauper.
It was Rise and, Above, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Rise Above.
But it was just like commenting on how like Rollins manages to snub both Black Flag reunions and then goes and plays Black Flag songs with Cyndi Lauper. I'm just like, that is kind of a funny observation. I enjoy that.
But Black Flag gets back together with Rollins or Keith Morris, whatever. Probably Rollins. Rollins is the more famous of the two at the end of the day. So if it's Rollins, Ginn, Dukowski, and Bill Stevenson or whatever, they're not playing hockey rinks, right? They're still playing theaters, big theaters. They're not big enough.
At this point, yeah.
Same thing with Jello and Dead Kennedys. Jello and Dead Kennedys got to get, but it would be huge. They could play punk rock bowling. They could do Riot Fest for 50,000 people. And same with Black Flag. But they're not playing hockey rinks. They're not selling out 15,000 to 18,000 seat venues like the Misfits are.
Yeah, I mean, the Misfits have that crossover with like the rock mainstream.
Well, because Danzig's like, metal crowd too, you know.
Not just the metal club, we've talked about this before, but like they managed to hit all the bases, like fucking they got the Juggalos, right? Like
you know they
can pull in from the Juggalo crowd, you can pull in from like this, just like from all of those masses of people that would go to like Distortion Rock Fest or whatever the fuck it was called in Quebec. It's like 7 billion people in a field.
Yeah.
Like you know, like all these people that like otherwise don't engage with the live music scene are for whatever reason within the Venn diagram.
People who go to three shows a year are going to that one.
Yeah, so it's like it's sort of like the perfect storm. I don't know who else would.
I had to laugh at him because I know you love it so much when conversation comes around to Danzig. I know that's your favorite thing. You hope that every episode at some point comes around to Danzig.
It amuses me because it just becomes like what John and Tom read on a secret message board that they're a part of.
Did you see, you want to talk about the irony of this Misfits thing, though? They're playing this huge festival of Misfits. Did you see who the other biggest headliner was?
Blue Ace or Cole.
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
Is that awesome or what? You know, it's like, I want your skull and I don't need your photograph. All I want is your photograph. You know, whatever. I forgot the words. I was a big fan when I was like 13, but anyway. Where else could you see Def Leppard in the Misfits?
Yeah.
I'm sorry that my joke.
I'm still confused.
I'm sorry that I killed all four momentum with my.
No, that's okay. We are severely running without a script because this is all just what's hearing out of John's head.
Let's hit one last topic and then we'll wrap this shorty on up. New Year's Eve. I know in the Philadelphia area there is a lot of plans. Sam Barrett, what exciting things do you have planned for New Year's Eve? And also, is there too many? What New Year's Eve is it an overstated holiday or an understated holiday? Like, is it as fun as it appears to be 3 weeks out?
I personally do not give. Besides playing one song from Death Cab, only because New Year's Eve has literally become the bane of my existence. In New York, with every drunk person being outside drinking and puking everywhere. So, normally I don't do much, hang out and, you know, watch this crazy ball drop because, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so I don't actually go to Times Square and stay in the freezing cold.
Have you ever done that?
Come down. And potentially, no, I'm not.
Don't you
crazy.
Think it's something you should do once? Shouldn't you do it once, though?
No.
Hey, live your own life.
Because I actually like my body. Yeah. And
you can show
I actually
the,
like
show up at the last
feel my limb.
Just watch it drop. I always wonder if there's enough bathrooms. Because there's never any bathrooms. You know, New York is the land of no bathrooms.
Oh, dude,
like,
no, you can't
I'm outside
just
drinking.
Show up
it's
last
it's
minute.
25 degrees. I'm outside drinking. And I'm going to have to pee every 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, they pretty much corral you. like into pens, and you can't leave the pen like for a couple hours. So like if you leave your area wherever you are, like standing in Times Square, then like you pretty much forfeit you ever coming back, kind of. So it's kind of like, you know, you have to hold your pee or figure out a way to pee somewhere close, you know, inside the parameters of this pen. Kind of like, you know, watching a soccer game and you're like a diehard, you know, figure it out. Yeah, no, I don't.
Wow, these are good things. These are good things to know if I ever make it down there.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm very anti leaving a certain area because I just don't want to deal with, and sure, especially in like this season for New York, like every tourist is here to see all the Christmas things. So yeah, it's a lot. But yeah, I don't have any plans right now. We'll see what happens in a couple weeks. Last year, like, I went to a concert, but this year there isn't too many punk things happening on New Year's Eve, so I'm not doing that.
Adam, a man with young children, are you hooping and hollering or sitting at home and drinking by yourself in the basement?
I mean, like, I hope to do neither, but, yeah, so we have young kids, so we don't go anywhere anymore. Mainly because, like, the kids are going to go to bed at, last year we lied to them. Like, we wanted the kids to go to bed so that we could hang around and keep drinking and whatever we were going to do. So at a certain point, it's sort of like 9:30, we're like, all right, let's count down to midnight. And we count down to midnight and then put them to bed. And It was so successful that I can't imagine that we're not going to do that again this year, because it was just it was the perfect way to do it, because like they wouldn't know. They have no way of knowing. We don't have like broadcast television, so they don't know. They couldn't like turn on the news and say like, you know, we're waiting for the ball to drop or anything. So yeah, so I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna lie to the kids and put them to bed, and then me and my wife are gonna hang around and like watch TV or play board games or something. I don't exactly know. What can you do? Where can we go? Sit on the couch and get fucked up, as I guess what the plan is.
Tom, you've got older kids. Are you going to go out and you know, cause trouble and drag race down the street?
I got to say, New Year's Eve is the one night that we always have gone out. So even when the kids were little, and it was an expensive babysitter night back in the day, let me tell you. But my kids are old enough to stay home by themselves now. Like I said, I have two kids in college, and the other two are left alone all the time. So we will go out with friends for dinner, and we will find a local watering hole, and we will toast the new year, and then we will go home and go to bed. So I will probably make it till 12:30, 1 o'clock. A few years ago, we closed down the bar on New Year's Eve, which is 2 o'clock here, not super late, not like that 4 o'clock New York time. That about kill me at my age now. I literally spent the first day of the year just like wanting to be under a blanket and just huddled up. So we take it fairly easy, but we'll make it till midnight. I'll have a few drinks, and like I said, dinner with friends. We have one couple that we go with every year, and there's kind of a rotating cast, but it's very much an adult thing. It's not a wild, crazy, you know, it's a couple's holiday for us, definitely. So it'll be cool.
Well, fair enough. Next episode.
What about you, John? What are you going to do, man?
I got options, and the question is, how much money do I want to spend? My cheapest option is to go to the Dark Thoughts record release show in Philadelphia. And honestly, that's going to be a pretty poppin' event, because Dark Thoughts is definitely a buzzier Philly band.
Although
they say they're breaking up or taking a hiatus after this record gets released there at this tour, but who knows? So
always a good plan when you're at your peak of buzz.
That's true. The only thing, it's very much in the West Philly punk scene, which is like the Maximum Rock and Roll type guys. And I'm getting a little burnt. I actually like that kind of music more than ever, but I'm kind of burned out with the people right these days. So I might
feel you, man. I feel you.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. So I might go up to Brooklyn to see World Inferno Friendship Society do their record release show, and I would definitely do that. Except for, like, honestly, we're looking at a $400 hotel. $120 in tolls and gas. You know, if World of Fame was playing Philadelphia and the ticket price was $500,
John, you should just do what Adam does. Just stay and sit on your couch. Sit on your couch and drink.
My other option, which actually might be cheaper than World Inferno, is Sleep is doing their reportedly last show for a while in Chicago. So if I can get a lucky plane ticket, I'm considering flying out to Chicago to see Sleep do their last show.
A ghetto room in Chicago is still $200 too, though. I mean, it's not it's expensive too.
I would probably fly out, see the show, go back to the airport, fly out at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yikes!
Hardcore, baby, hardcore.
John, you should just rent a car and drive. I'm only about 3 hours away from Chicago, John. You drive up. We could spend New Year's Day record shopping.
Tom is a plan. As always, you can reach that podcast at punknews.org. We'll get back to mail. We've got some mail backing up. We'll get back to regular episodes. I think next week, actually, though, the next week that you hear is probably going to be our end of year wrap up, which is always a lot of fun. One of my favorite episodes of the year. Sam Barrett, any closing words? Anything you want the listeners to know? Any words of advice?
Be good to your space. Do not drink too much, and please don't drive if you drink.
Good, excellent, excellent, excellent. Especially in the age of Uber and Lyft, no excuse for drunk driving. Tom Trauma, anything you want to leave listeners list with till we hit the end of your podcast episode?
You know, if we don't talk to you again in 2019, I hope everybody has a safe and happy New Year. It's been a fun year for podcasting to you. And if you find yourself at Denny's, don't eat the red-eyed chili fries. You will regret it.
Adam White, any fast food or low-cost diner recommendations?
No, I just want to take this opportunity to say, get bent, listener.